1 John 4, the Bible said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them." I love that word, overcome. I was visiting in a hospital, and I saw a sign advertising some classes, and it said, "Learn to cope with stress and learn to cope with anxiety." And I said, "I'm glad I don't have to cope. I'm an overcomer, not a coper." And ye have overcome them, the Bible says, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I have two words underlined in that verse, and that's the word greater, and then I have the word than. And then I have those two words written in the margin of my Bible, greater than. I want to preach tonight on this subject. We have a greater than God. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless in the preaching. Lord, I have been praying for a few weeks now, specifically for this conference and for this very moment. And I've asked, Holy Spirit of God, that you would prepare, and then, Lord, during the preaching, Lord, you would be here with us. I desire that the Holy Spirit of God would bless in the preaching and in the listening. I pray your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I was working at the close of last year, at the close of the school year, not the calendar year, but at the close of the school year, and it was a Monday morning, and I was preparing on that Monday morning, not just for the day and not just for the week, but I was preparing for a new season of the year. I was preparing for the summertime. The school years had ended, and I was sitting at my desk, and I could actually see it. I could see my desk. I had my work organized, and I had various folders on my desk. I had my prayer list on my desk, and I have an average of about 300 prayer requests each week that I get from my adult Sunday school class, and then from our Wednesday night prayer meeting, and then from radio listeners. We're on 40-some radio stations, and I get quite a few requests that way. So I had about 300 on the average, and I had my prayer lists laying on my desk that morning. I had a folder on my desk, information on expanded gambling again in Kentucky. And I've been fighting that thing for the last 3 years, just tooth and toenail, fighting against it. We don't need the gambling we have, let alone to expand the gambling. One of the examples I've used in my fight against expanded gambling is the state of Indiana. They said if we can get casino gambling, it'll solve all of our financial problems. But just last year, there was an increase of an entire percent in sales tax because of a shortage in money. And everybody knows that gambling does not increase revenue at all. But it costs a city and a state more. And it's just a ridiculous thinking. The only people that make money are the owner of the casinos. And I had that information on my desk, and the truth is it had failed in the regular session, and we'd held rallies and that we'd fought against it, and the governor couldn't get enough votes, so he called a special session for the summertime. Now, in a special session, they don't have to have a two-thirds vote, but a 51% vote. He had a 51% vote in the regular session, and so it was just figured that he would see the expanded gambling passed in the regular session. I had that folder on my desk. I had a folder on my desk on information on fight about the King James Bible. I couldn't believe it. Folks were trying to tell me that my Bible is a good translation, but it's not inspired. And they said it's a good translation, but it's not the living Word of God. And I believe that's what God preserved, was His inspired words. And a theologian called me, and he said, "Define the word inspired for me. How do you define it?" And I said, "Well, you define the word expired, and then I'll define the word inspired." I said, "The Bible said he lived 40 years and he expired. What happened to him?" He said, "Well, he died." I said, "Is your Bible dead or is it alive?" "Mine's not dead." He said, "How do you define it?" I said, "John 6:63, my words are spirit and they are life." he said, "Have you read Oxford Dictionary?" And I said, "Listen, Noah Webster took words and he defined them according to the Bible. God help us when we come to the place that preachers take Bible words and use secular dictionaries to define them." And so I had that on my desk. I had my budgets on the desk, and I'll be honest with you, that morning I had a feeling I had a feeling of being overwhelmed. I looked at my responsibilities and I looked at what was going to take place in the summer and the fights, and I was just overwhelmed, and I was fighting that feeling. You can't do anything for God discouraged. You can't do anything for God if you're not on fire for God. And I don't want to be discouraged, and I don't live a discouraged life. I stay on top side. But that morning, boy, I was struggling, and I was having a tough time, and I bowed my head at my desk and I said, "Lord, I need some help this morning. I need you to help me. I need to begin this summer session and this part of the year, and I've got some battles coming up that are bigger than me, and I need some help." And the Holy Spirit brought to my mind 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 4. Now, the Holy Spirit can't bring to your mind what you haven't put in your mind. That's why you have to read the Bible. And you may think you didn't get anything out of your Bible reading this morning, but the Holy Spirit may use that the next time you knock on a door, or the next time you make a visit, or the next time somebody asked you a question, the Holy Spirit said, "You remember reading this? Here's your answer." And so the Holy Spirit, and I thought of that verse, "Ye have overcome them because," not your ability, not your talent, but "because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." I looked at that verse, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." That morning, I underlined the word "greater" and underlined the word "than," greater than. And when I did, I thought of when I was in school, and I loved math class, and the teacher would bring us up, two students, and we would stand in front of the chalkboard, and she would have a list of numbers, and she said, "I want you to make a greater than sign indicating which of the two numbers is the greater than number." You remember doing that. And they would be a 6 and a 4 and a 427 and just so forth. And we would have a race, and two students, and she'd say, "Go." We'd pick up the chalk, we'd make the greater than sign, and as quick as we could, lay the chalk down and step back to see who won. And I enjoyed that, and I liked that in math class. Well, I remember one day, the two numbers that I was supposed to choose the greater than was 1/4 and 1/16. And I marked that 1/16 is greater than 1/4. She marked it wrong. Me, being a very intelligent third grader, tried to explain to her that 16 is bigger than 4. She said 16 is bigger than 4, but 1/16 is less than 1/4. I didn't get it. She saw I didn't get it. She said, "I'll tell you what let's do. Let's imagine a pie." I didn't understand it, but she had my attention. I'll tell you right there. She said, "We're going to cut this pie into 4 pieces." She said, "We're going to take another pie and we're going to cut it into 16 pieces. She said, "Which do you want a piece of pie from? Which one?" Ah, I'm starting to get it. She said, "Had you rather divide a pie with 4 brothers or with 16 brothers?" I said, "I've just got 2 brothers and I'm not getting any pie as it is. I'll take the 1 with 4. And so I understood that 1/16 is less than and 1/4 is greater than 1/16. All that came to my mind that morning. And so I took my prayer list. The first name on my prayer list that morning was Scott Moore. Scott's 38 years old. He has cancer for the second time. He has 2 little children. Fine boys. I mean, it's a blessing to see them come with their suits and ties on, and they've videoed the oldest one. I believe he's 5 or 6, and he says, "I'm gonna be like preacher," and he stands up in his room and he starts he just throws a fit. He's mean. He's a lot meaner than I am, and he preaches. And I had Scott Moore's name on my prayer list. And I'll be honest with you. Sometimes prayer requests overwhelm me. I'd like to fix them. I just like to fix them, but I can't. So that morning I wrote down the name Jesus beside Scott Moore's cancer. And I said, "Jesus is greater than cancer." I went to the next name, and the next name on my prayer list was Mike and Rhonda Dunn. Rhonda and Mike were expecting their third child. They'd gone to the doctor, and the doctor said, Rhonda, the child is very deformed. The brain of the child is not growing inside of the baby's skull, but growing on the outside. The baby is not going to live, and we recommend that you abort the pregnancy. By the way, no woman in the Bible was ever pregnant there with child. That's why you need your King James Bible. Make sure you stay with the book. And she said to the doctor, I can't do that. He said, Rhonda, the baby cannot live. Even if you carried it full term, it's going to die. She said, we'll have to let God decide that. And whenever it dies, I'm not going to take the baby's life. She would come to my office, her and Mike, and she would say this. She would say, Preacher, 2 days this week I did good, but I'm so sorry. She said, sometimes I just got mad at God. And I know it's not right. I want you to pray with me that God would help me not to get mad. She said, sometimes I just ask God why, and I know I shouldn't, and would you just pray with me? And I mean week after week, and I had their name on my prayer list. And it overwhelmed me. So I wrote down the name Jesus beside that, and I took my pencil, and I said, Jesus is greater than that problem. Well, it started through my prayer list. I had on my prayer list folks with heavy burdens to bear. I had good people working to overcome addictions. I had missionaries with great and overwhelming needs. Can I tell you something? We're very blessed in America. The poorest in America is blessed beyond the average life of a missionary and folks in foreign countries. And missionaries, when they count the days they have electricity, some of them do. I had folks with sicknesses and questions. I had folks with wayward children, and I just wrote down the name Jesus beside every one of them. I said, Jesus is greater than that one. Jesus is greater than that one. I took my folder of expanded gambling and all of the information, and they were saying the preacher is going to stop and destroy 100,000 jobs in Kentucky. And I mean, the governor had called me. The former governor had called me. Everywhere. And they said, you preachers, you just don't understand. And I do understand. I understand that book right there. I understand that a man's supposed to get up and work and earn and save. And I do understand. But I took that folder that morning and I wrote down Jesus on that folder, and I said, Jesus is greater than the governor and all of the desire for expanded gambling. They said to me, don't you know, preacher, you're fighting against folks with not millions but billions of dollars. Don't you know? I mean, this is like David and Goliath. I said, do you forget who won that? When I got to the end of my prayer list and I got the end of my folders, I wasn't overwhelmed anymore. In fact, I was walking around my office saying, glory to God, hallelujah, Jesus is greater than cancer, and Jesus is greater than this problem, and Jesus is greater than that burden, and He's greater than that addiction. And I came from the place of being overwhelmed and nearly discouraged to the place that I was shouting in the fact that I have a greater than God. I want to tell you something this evening. You and I have a God that is a greater than God. I don't know what your burdens are. I'm not going to tell you don't have any. That would be foolish and ridiculous to tell folks, well, you don't really have burdens, and this is your day. I'd like to give Him my budget one Monday morning. That'd wipe that silly smile off of His face, I'll tell you for sure. I'd like for Him to come to a few meetings and I'd show Him. But anyway, I'm glad today, no matter what my burden is and no matter what my need is, I have a greater than God. I remember just after that, a few days after that, it was on Thursday, I told my wife. On Thursday, my wife and I both teach at the college, and then after our classes, then we do the chapel. I preach in the chapel service, and then we have a date every Thursday from 12 to 3. And usually, we go shopping. I hold her hand. it keeps her from shopping. And I told her the other day, I said, I'm going to get you a holster made for that credit card. And I said, so you can find that thing. And but I told her, I said, I'm going to go over to see Vince Price over here. She said, you mean the fellow at the RV dealership you've been witnessing to? I said, yes. I said, I'm going to go witness to him. She said, you've been witnessing to him 15 years. I said, I know. I'm going to go see him today. We pulled in. She said, I'll sit here in the vehicle. And I went in, Vince was in there, and he knew I was there, and gave him a track, and he can memorize, I mean, he can quote the track. I've been through it so many times. I said, Vince, you need to get saved. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. That day, I saw the Holy Spirit do what I love to see him do. He was under conviction. He said, sit down, Reverend. We sit down, and I talked for a little while, and he said, preacher, I'll tell you something. He said, you don't know my past. And he began to list his sins. I said, Vince, I got good news for you. Jesus died for sinners. He said, come to my big office. And so we went in the big glassed-in office, and I went through the plan of salvation again, and I told him about a God that was greater than all our sin, and he trusted Christ as Savior, and he came on Sunday, and he followed the Lord in believers' baptism. You know why? Hey, dear friend, you and I have a God that has conquered death, that has conquered hell, that has conquered the grave, that has conquered sin. We have a greater than God. And I'm going to tell you today, it's about time that Christians live on the top side of life. It's about time that Christians look to God. A fella asked me the other day, he said, hey, what do you think about Glenn Beck? I said, he's all right, but I like Mordecai better. Yeah. Well, what do you think about Rush Limbaugh? I said, he ain't bad sometimes, but I tell you what, I like Daniel a whole lot better. It bothers me that Christians get stirred up more listening to conservative radio than they do coming and hearing the preaching of the Word of God. I want to tell you something today. We have a greater than God. His comfort is greater than our pain. His compassion is greater than our sorrow. His love is greater than our failure. His mercy is greater than my transgression, and His goodness is greater than my goodness. His strength is greater than my weakness, and His joy is greater than the pleasures of the world. His peace is greater than the storms of life, and His long suffering is greater than my failures. His gentleness is greater than my anxiety. His meekness is greater than my pride. I'm going to tell you something tonight. You and I have a greater than God, and you need to take your problems and your burdens and write them down, and write down the name Jesus beside of them, and make a decision tonight who the greater than God is, and get excited about a God that can take care of your burdens and give you the grace to bear your burdens and help you to live the victorious Christian life. I love the song that said, marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Sin and despair like the sea waves cold threaten the soul with infinite loss. But grace that is greater, yet grace untold, it points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What could avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide, and brighter than snow you may be today. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive? We have a greater than God. Amen. David found out that he was greater than when he faced Goliath, or should I say Goliath found out that he had a greater than God. Daniel found out that God was greater than when he faced the hungry lions, or should I say the king found out. Daniel already knew. Daniel slept all right. It was the king that couldn't sleep and wait till the next morning to come and open the door to the lion's den and see how old Daniel was doing. And Daniel said, live forever, O king. Hey, he found out that he had a greater than God. Even the martyrs found out that he was greater than when they faced a martyr's death. It's an amazing thing. When I was a teenager, my dad, several books he had me to read that affected my life in a tremendous way. The faith of a George Mueller, the faith of the martyrs who died for the Word of God and the cause of Christ. One of the inquisitors said to one that was about to be martyred for translating the Scriptures, he said, your Bible must have an interpreter to be alive. And he said, no, sir. He said, said, my Bible is alive, with or without an interpreter. The Holy Spirit of God makes it live. I have a living Bible. And with that, his life was taken for faith in the Word of God. I read those stories, and I read about men like Tyndale, who was martyred for the cause of the Word of God, and how he prayed, oh Lord, open the eyes of the King of England. And God gave them grace to even give their lives for the cause of Christ. That's a greater than God. Paul found that his grace was greater than his thorn in the flesh. Paul found out that his weakness, in his weakness, that God's strength was made perfect and was made greater than. Take your Bibles and let me show you a verse here in Hebrews chapter 11. And I'm hurrying, but Hebrews chapter 11. Moses decided that serving God and doing right was greater than giving into the pleasures of Egypt. Notice what the book says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 24. The Bible says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I love this story. I love the story of Moses, the little baby found in the bulrushes. Hey, Pharaoh said, we're going to kill all the baby boys because God's not going to raise up a deliverer on my watch. No, sir, he said, I'm going to raise him on your knee. I love God's humor. Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Many would say today, why, Moses, you're crazy. That's foolish. Why, you may inherit the throne. You'll have great power. Why would you want to turn your back on the pleasures of Egypt? Here's the answer, verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He had a greater than God. Joseph found that God's grace was greater than the temptations of the flesh. God is greater than all. We have a greater than God. I'm not saying you don't have burdens. I'm not saying you don't have broken hearts. I'm not saying you don't have needs and even needs and burdens that are greater than our ability. I understand that that's true. But dear friend, our God is greater than all of those. I love these words of John chapter 10 where he said in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. The next time you're feeling overwhelmed, the burdens are heavier than you can bear, just write them down on a piece of paper. Write down the name Jesus beside them. And you do the math. And you decide who is greater than. It's amazing what God can do in a split second. I remember John Rice saying, he asked a preacher one day how he was doing. And he said, I'm doing pretty good under the circumstances. And Dr. Rice said, what are you doing under there? Now, let me give you some simple instruction. There must be a definite decision to live by faith in the greater than God. Salvation is by grace through faith. You heard the gospel. The Holy Spirit convicted you of your sin. You saw your need of a Savior. You trusted Christ as Savior. But the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Shall live by faith. Do you understand? With every burden, with every trial, I have to make a decision, not for salvation, but I have to make a decision if I'm going to trust in God for that particular battle, for that particular burden, for that particular need. Isn't it amazing how our faith is tested day after day? There are folks in our churches, they were saved by faith, but they've been living like an atheist ever since. They don't live by faith. They live by fear. They live by feelings. They live by doubt. We have to make a decision. You have to put your burden down, that burden that's overwhelming, that discouragement that's about to defeat you. You have to write it down and write down the name Jesus beside it. And you have to make a decision if you're going to live by faith or not. I sent an email to a secular talk radio host that I know in Lexington. And I've been on radio many times. I've debated with liberal senators and representatives. And, you know, America was founded as a Christian nation. And I've challenged any professor in our city and town and state to try to prove me different. And I've had some take me up on it. And I've debated them on radio. I had one senator, I said to her, Senator Stein, she was a representative then, and I said, what did you do before you became a state representative? She said, I was a history teacher. I said, wouldn't tell anybody. Wouldn't tell anybody. France is a secular nation. They don't have "In God We Trust" on their coins. They don't have a Bible verse of Leviticus on a Liberty Bell. They don't have "Praise to God" in the top of the Washington, in top of their monuments like we do in the Washington Monument, and on and on and on it goes. America was founded as a Christian nation. Somebody said, I hate to feel rebellious. A preacher did. I said, I'm not rebellious. They're the rebellious crowd. America was founded as a Christian nation. You read the Mayflower Compact. They didn't come to spread religion. They came to spread Christianity. You check and see where your Ivy League schools and all of that. Read the history of those schools. Transylvania, right there in Lexington, they asked me to come and speak. Had a protest of hundreds of people protesting me coming. It's amazing how open-minded that they want to be until it's a preacher coming to preach. Transylvania is an elite school. What that means is they charge you 4 times the tuition to give you nothing more than any other school can give you. And I went in, protesters everywhere. I went in and I said, I don't want to bore you because I'm sure you know this already, but Transylvania University began over here in Boyle County in 1788, 4 years before Kentucky became a state. I actually have a copy of the first textbook that was used in the first classroom. They look like that. I said, it's nearly 400 years old. And I said, the first teacher was David Rice, actually the Reverend David Rice. And his first lesson was that man is fallen in sin. And this book right here, the King James Bible, was the first textbook. By the way, it wasn't Transylvania University, it was Transylvania Seminary. And they trained men like me to preach on heaven and hell and sin and death and salvation. God got into that meeting. We stayed until the janitor came and said, I'm sorry, you folks got to go. It's after 10 o'clock. America was founded as a Christian nation. I called the radio station. I've got to quit. I called the radio station, and I told the fellow, I said, I want to take a stand against expanded gambling in the governor. He said, Reverend, come on, next Monday morning, 10 o'clock. So I went on. I felt like a tin duck at a circus. They'd set me up, and the liberals would shoot me down, and they'd set me back up. And but you know what? I don't care. You can shoot at me. It doesn't bother. Every preacher needs a good cussing once a week. It won't hurt you to get a good cussing. It won't hurt you at all. It won't hurt you. And I stood. Well, the president of the Senate heard me standing against gambling. He said, Reverend, he called me. His agent, or his, I'll think of it, his assistant, I'll think of the name in a minute, Becky Harrelson, she called and said, the governor is giving his speech on why Kentucky needs expanded gambling tomorrow evening, and Senator Williams would like for you to come as a dignitary and offer the prayer before he gives his speech. I said, I'll be there. There are 3 chairs in the house. There's a big chair. Looks like Mama Bear, Papa Bear, and Baby Bear. I was looking for a seat, and they said, no, your seat's up there beside the Senate president. I said, where's the governor sit? They said, he don't. He stands in front of the podium in front of you. Senator said, every time he says expanded gambling, you say, and so I prayed. At the close of my prayer, the fire alarm went off. All the representatives were there. All the senators were there. The Kentucky State Supreme Court justices were there. It was a packed house. Fire alarm went off. President got up and he said, is there a fire? And they said, no, it's a malfunction. Everybody was looking for the exit door. I mean, everybody smelling for smoke. The governor gave his entire speech on expanded gambling with every 5 or 6 seconds. You imagine giving a Sunday school lesson a fire alarm going off? When he finished, the fire alarm stopped. The next week in committee, the most liberal senator that I mentioned that I debated 2 years before, she called and she said, "Reverend, you'll be glad to know that expanded gambling has failed once again in the state of Kentucky." Now, we didn't have a chance to win. But you know what? I've decided I'm going to stand for right. It's not a matter of winning and losing. It's a matter of just having faith in a greater than God. All he can use is faith. All he can use is faith. Now, you and I have a greater than God. Quit pouting and quit whining and crying. Your problem is not your purpose.
Right.
Some folks live for their problem. That's not the will. Your problem is not your purpose. The will of God's our purpose. Now we have a greater than God. Let's decide by faith to trust Him and to follow Him. Heavenly Father, I pray that You'd help us tonight. Speak to our hearts. Convict us tonight. I'm hearing preachers say there's no hope for America. I read the book of Esther, Lord, and there was no hope for the Jews. Lord, old Mordecai, he hadn't been listening to Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity in that crowd. He'd been with You. He decided to do right, and Esther decided to do right no matter the consequences. If I perish, I perish. I'm going to do right. And God, You change those circumstances. God, we need some preachers and Christians who have faith that we can see a revival. We can see a change in our nation. It might take calamity. I don't know. It has before. We can see our churches grow. We can win folks to Christ. We can reach folks in the bus ministry. We have a greater than God. Help us to have faith in You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.